These are some of the ways in which the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be satisfied by the devotee. The first item mentioned is Dayaya Sarvabhuteshu, showing mercy to all conditioned souls. The best way to show mercy is to spread the Krishna consciousness. The entire world is suffering for want of this knowledge. People should know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original cause of everything. Knowing this, everyone should directly engage in his devotional service. Those who are actually learned, advanced in spiritual understanding, should preach Krishna consciousness all over the world so that people may take to it and make their lives successful. The word Sarvabhuteshu is significant because it applies not only to human beings, but to all the living entities appearing in the 8,400,000 species of life. The devotee can do good not only to humanity, but for all living entities as well. Everyone can benefit spiritually by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. When the transcendental vibration of Hare Krishna is sounded, even the trees, animals and insects benefit. Thus, when one chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra loudly, he actually shows the mercy to all living entities. To spread the Krishna consciousness movement throughout the world, the devotee should be satisfied in all conditions. Narayana para sarve na kutascha divyati. Svarga apavarga narakesh vapituryata darshanaha. Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 6, chapter 17, text 28. It does not matter to the pure devotee if he has to go to hell to preach. The Supreme Lord lives in the heart of a hog. Although the Lord is in Vaikuntha, even while preaching in hell, a pure devotee remains a pure devotee by his constant association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To attain this state, one has to control his senses. The senses are automatically controlled when one's mind is engaged in the service of the Lord. Om Agyana Dhinandasya Nyanjanan Savakaya Chachuru Unmilitam Dhinna Tasmahe Sri Guruve Namah. Sri Chaitanya Vishnam Stapitam Jini Bhutale Svaya Rupa Kadava Mahiram Tadati Svapadantikam Mukam Karo Tivachalam Pankum Nam Gayate Giri Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinitarinam Panandamadavam Sri Chaitanya Ishparam. Right, so doyaya, be merciful to others, right? And how does Sri Prabhupada say that we should be merciful to others? What is his recommendation? What's his recommendation in the purport?
Praise, praying Krishna.
Three words.
It's praying Krishna consciousness.
Yes, he does. He does. But how?
We're chanting Hare Krishna.
Yes, chant Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna. Loudly. For the benefit of others. And of course, this is Lord Chaitanya's mission. In this day and age, you know, these carnations are deadly. I can feel it here. Look at this. Look how sharp that is.
They are very sharp.
Look at that. You can kill somebody with that. It's a bit of torture that I've had, I'm afraid. You know, this. Yes, so the way I ask, and we're looking here at how to please the Lord. Tushyanyashu Janandanaha. Very quickly. Narada's pointing out to the projectors, very quickly, you please, Tushyati Asu, very quickly, Janana, the Lord of all living entities. So, there's a few points that Prabhupada makes here. Showing mercy to others, this quality of a devotee. And in this day and age, the best way to show mercy to others is to chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and of course that's Lord Chaitanya's mission, right? Krishna to be Krishna, what is it? Krishna Vaham Tvisha Krishnam Sangho Pangashta Parashadam Yangyari Shankita Praye Jantihi Sumega Sala. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna, Krishna Varanam, Krishna in truth, or actually Krishna, but Tvisha Krishna, not blackish. Will appear, Sango Bhangashtra Parishadam will appear with his associates. which is interesting. You know, in the Kali Yuga, the means for making progress in spiritual life is the Sankirtan movement. And also the Prachetas, interesting to note, the Prachetas were engaged in Jagya. They were performing sacrifice by their meditation for their purification, which is ultimately for the purification of the citizens that they were then going to become rulers of. Right? But the key feature of their advancement was their cooperation. Right? And so it is not an individual effort, but it is a joint effort. Right? And the Lord appeared to give them blessings because of their joint cooperation. So similarly also, the Sankirtan movement is, of course, it requires individual effort, but that individual effort has to be done in consideration of spreading Krishna consciousness, and in order to spread Krishna consciousness, we can't do it alone. Very difficult to do it alone. So, you know, wherever the body goes, we see that with Srila Prabhupada. Wherever Srila Prabhupada went, he created devotees. And of course, in the process of creating devotees, he encouraged them to spread the to preach Krishna consciousness. And you know, the beginning was Sankirtan. What was one of the first things that Srila Prabhupada did in 26 Second Avenue? What was the first thing that Srila Prabhupada did, effectively, I suppose? What did he do?
He
died
in Dalton Square.
Yeah. Before that, what did he do? But yes, you're right. The first public effort to preach was Gaura Harinam, which is supports. But you know, the first thing that Srila Prabhupada did was gathered people to chant Hare Krishna, right? And to hear philosophy. Katayantascha, hearing and chanting, right? Katayantascha. So, Srila Prabhupada attracted people to the chanting of Hare Krishna and to the philosophy, and then when he had those devotees established, someone established in the philosophy, then what's the first thing he did? He went out and chanted Hare Krishna with those devotees. What's the next thing he did after that?
Gave them prasadam?
Yes, in the form of what? Through which vehicle?
Sunday things.
So, you know, when you go out and chant Hare Krishna, then people become attracted. Right? Krishna is all attractive. His holy name is none different. Sarva Shakti, all the potencies of Krishna in his name. Huh? And so, you go out and chant Hare Krishna, naturally people become attracted. And so, in order to look after them, Prabhupada established the Sunday feast to entertain, to encourage to satisfy people's inquisitiveness. So, Prabhupada's following in the footsteps, of the previous acharyas, following in the footsteps of Bhaktisiddhanta, following the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, which is really the order of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when you think about it, and you know, following many of the instructions, actually fulfilling the predictions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, realistically, right? Who is described as the seventh Goswami, and of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is following Rupa Goswami, and Prabhupada said they're all Rupa Nukas. And of course, we glorify Rupa Goswami because Rupa Goswami understood the mind of Lord Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Bhimavutale. He understood Lord Chaitanya's mission was to spread Krishna consciousness. And his, Rupa Goswami's service was to uncover or recover the places of pastimes in Braj, in Six Goswami's service, but also in the right books. And of course, within the literature of Rupa Goswami, we discover the foundational principles of Krishna consciousness. And this is the first item. The best way is to spread Krishna consciousness and know that the Supreme Personality is the original cause of everything, right? Anadiya Adi Govinda Sarvakarana Karana. Krishna is the source of everything. Adi. The Adi without an Adi. Anadi. Right? The beginning without a beginning. That which means ever existent, always present. Everyone should directly engage in his devotional service. And see, that's the beauty of chanting Hare Krishna. Because there's a good percentage of the population that are actually not interested at all in any spiritual pursuit. There are those who have that inclination, but there are many who are not. But the Mahamantra is unique in that you're rendering service to Krishna simply by hearing the sound of the Mahamantra. Right. So it's a little tricky. Right? The devotees are chanting Hare Krishna and the people are laughing and going, Hare Krishna, what are you doing? You fools, or whatever. But the devotees are blissful, they're happily blissful chanting Hare Krishna because they know that that's the beginning of the end of material life for anybody who hears the Mahamantra. So they're laughing at us, but we're laughing at them. Because this is it. It's called Agyata Supriti. Unknown pious activities. Agyata Supriti. Unknown piety. Even, you don't see it so much these days, but we used to see it a lot in the 70s and 80s. People would see the Harinam party and then they just be shocked, horror, and they clap their hands over their ears and try to run away. Didn't happen all the time, but it happened occasionally that you would see this. These days, when you see people, they're more often happy and smiling and enthused to see the vibrancy, the Prabhupada calls it bright faces. bright faces. It's a quotation in the Manjula, 15th chapter, I think it is, that I found the other day. Prabhupada mentions how the devotees have bright faces, and that the materialistic shopkeepers and others become concerned, or they become enemies. You know, how come the devotees are so happy and yet they don't work? And you know, there's that story of the devotees in 26 Second Avenue who, after Srila Prabhupada had encouraged them to do book distribution, they'd stopped doing the Harinam party in the park. And of course, when the devotees first started doing the Harinam, and the donut sellers and the pretzel sellers and the burger sellers and whatever, you know, the street food wars, they were complaining, oh boy, Hare Krishna is chanting and making so much noise and disturbing everybody. But then after the devotees stopped going to the park and concentrated more on book distribution, right, which is a Brihadaranyaka. Yeah, this is our methodology. Chanting Hare Krishna and amplifying that book distribution. Right? So the devotees were doing book distribution, but then one day they decided to go back to the park to do Harinam, and the shopkeepers said, "Where have you been? Why did you stop?" Right? So this is a proof, a demonstration of how effective the chanting of Hare Krishna is to change the hearts of people imperceptibly. Right? So initially, you know, negative reaction, oh, you're making so much noise, and, you know, why are you worshipping this God Krishna? Why don't you worship Jesus or whatever? So there's this initial response of negativity, but gradually over time, as the devotees continue their chanting and in the chanting of Hare Krishna, that demonstration of enthusiasm, of dedication, of love for Krishna, this is the power, the emotion, you know, I guess it's called bhava, you know, that mood of devotion naturally occurs in the heart of somebody who chants Hare Krishna. And that's powerful, that experience of bhakti. Right? You say, you get bhakti from a bhakta. And that display of devotion is powerful. Right? And it demonstrates, actually, this point. People should know that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the original cause of everything. Everyone should directly engage in his devotional service. So the devotees are showing, by example, Doya Vasa Bhutteshu. They're preaching all over the world. And we see that with Srila Prabhupada. That was Lord Chaitanya's desire. That's his mission. That the chanting of Hare Krishna should be spread all over the world. Srila Prabhupada fulfilled that. That's why we recognize, one of the reasons why we recognize that Srila Prabhupada is Lord Chaitanya's empowered representative, because he fulfilled Lord Chaitanya's mission. Right? And Sarvabhuteshu, for everybody, Prabhupada says this word is significant. And why is the chanting of Hare Krishna significant? Because everybody benefits, you know, just by hearing. It's a simple process. So inadvertently, unknowingly, and even in some cases unwillingly, everybody is benefited by the chanting of Hare Krishna. The streets and the walls of the buildings echo, the trees echo the sound of the Maha Mantra, so they're engaged in devotional service imperceptibly and even unwillingly. So even the atoms Just imagine how purified the atoms of the walls of this room are after having been exposed to kirtan all the time. Now this is, we are not in the material world, Prabhupada says. We are not in Melbourne, we are in Vrindavan. Right? So, the devotee who's chanting Hare Krishna, right, can do good not only to humanity but to all living entities as well. Everyone can benefit spiritually by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I remember when I used to hear the kirtan for the first time, I found that intriguing. You know, what my friends used to say about Hare Krishna's were crazy. And you know, externally, if you look at the Hare Krishna's, bald heads, saffron robes, odd socks, you know, it was challenging, really challenging. But above that was the sound operation of the Maha Mantra. And you know, Gauranga Labhumi, he also had this very big plate of Maha Mantra. He had this very penetrating glance, and you can see the whites of his eyes. And that's kind of like a freaky look. He's just naturally like that. And I just think, whoa. You get mixed up with these guys, that's it, you're finished. And that was one thing I knew. If you associate with the Hare Krishna, your material life is finished. And so I was scared. And my friends were saying, we're crazy, you know. But I used to think, they're not, you know, the impact, the power of them chanting is affecting me. It's drawing me. It's attractive. Crazy people don't do things so deliberately. You know, if they're crazy, why are they doing this? Let me find out why they do what they do before I can judge whether they're crazy or not. No, this ain't to judge if somebody's crazy. In fact, what you find out is that some people actually they appear to be crazy, or illogical sometimes, but actually they're not. Even the crazy person has their internal, you know, logic. In some cases, many cases, that irrational and illogical behavior is a reaction to the difficulties of life. Everyone can benefit spiritually by the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. When the transcendental vibration of Hare Krishna is sounded in the trees, animals and insects benefit. Of course, you know, we don't. If you sit and preach to a dog, what's the point? We don't sit and talk to the trees and the insects and whatever. We concentrate on the human beings. That's it. But everybody benefits from the chanting of Hare Krishna. Thus, when one chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra loudly, he actually shows mercy to all the entities. So there's the connection. Doyaya sarvabhuteshu. This is quality of ability. And, you know, really the essence of the Hare Krishna movement. Which is why I encourage the devotees, Prabhupada encouraged us, to increase the sankirtan practice. Because in this day, right now, we don't. there are those who criticize us. Oh, you're not chanting Hare Krishna, you're not prepared to sacrifice your life for Krishna. Huh? As Prabhupada says, you know, if there's a, Prabhupada gives the example, if you know that there's a man-eating tiger in the jungle, you don't go into the jungle and, you know, challenge the laws of nature. So we don't go into the jungle to test Krishna's, you know, potency. Yes, we are at this point in time prepared to go and die, because that's called stupidity. We don't tempt fate. I think that's the saying, right? Don't tempt fate. Stay safe. Stay at home, stay safe. What do they say? Keeping us apart keeps us together. It's actually pretty good. Because unfortunately not everybody here in Victoria is following it. And of course now the knives are out. It's very interesting. This whole pandemic is a challenge. And so now there's been some mistakes made and there's a search for the culprit. Huh? How bad karma is that problem? You know, it's the cause and the two of mindset. But here's the key to success and our purpose. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Eva Kevalam Kalo, Nasdeva, 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 Kiti, Pamita. This is why we encourage the devotees. Do more Hare Nama Sankirtan. And do more book distribution. If we want to measure our success, then we follow Prabhupada's footsteps. He's gathered people. He got people to come for programs. He got them to chant Hare Krishna. He got them to chant 16 rounds. Follow the principles. They're all practicing devotees. Then what did he do? Our Hare Nama. Then when he established the press, ISKCON Press, and was printing books, then he distributed books. Because that was the instruction that he got from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Whenever you get money, print books. And Prabhupada always saw book distribution as being the most important activity, even above establishing temples. But it's interesting to note, paradoxical perhaps, that if you do book distribution, then what happens? You need to have places where people who are inquisitive about the philosophy and the practice in any place to be able to bring them to demonstrate and to have them participate in the process of bhakti. So that's why Prabhupada established. You know, even though we see Prabhupada established, you know, he made books the basis, still how much effort did he put into maintaining temples, establishing temples and maintaining temples. Right? So, you know, they go together. Prabhupada didn't ignore, and you know, Prabhupada spent how many years of his life, 12 years, 13 years of his life, establishing a society or a community, and it was based on temples as the centre, the community, the focal point. And you can see it now, how much the devotees are appreciating the temple. Because they're feeling great separation. Feeling unhappy because we just had the most enthusing festival of the year, Jula Yatra, right? And Balaram Purnima, and nobody could come to the temple. It was ironic, isn't it? You know, usually this time of year we're encouraging thousands of people, come to the temple, come to the temple, come to the temple. And they say, but no, go, I want to go to the temple. And they'll say, you can't come. That's why, that's just totally an effort. It's completely the opposite of what we want to do. When I say, everybody come, we're going to say, no, no, you can't come. And devotees are writing to us and saying how much they appreciate the service that the devotees are doing to worship Lord Balabhadra and Kulitai and Jagannath Balaram and Subhadra. And the service of the devotees at the temple appreciate that. And especially, it's service in separation, so that Vibralamba Seva is sharpening the devotee's desire to want to be in the association of the devotees, to see the deities, to have kirtan. Right? You can't have more fun than in a sanctum party. You can't. Right? This is why people are attracted to the devotees. The devotees just having some. When we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're in Vaikuntha. We're not in a material world anymore. Right? And people see that. They see the bright faces of the devotees, and they see them showing symptoms of prema. Right? Happy. Sushuka Kaptamandyayam. They see that. They say, wow, this is amazing. We don't see people, the only people that we see behaving like that, they're intoxicated. They're drunkards. Or crazy. Some people say, the Hare Krishnas are crazy. But they're not. They're not crazy, neither are they drunk. Well, maybe, yes, a symptom of prema bhakti is that the devotee behaves like a madman. Sometimes he shouts, sometimes he cries, sometimes he laughs. That is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, right? Sometimes he rolls on the ground. We've never done it. Prabhupada didn't encourage rolling on the ground. There was one time in Vrindavan where, not one time in Vrindavan, happened more often than not, or quite often, shall I say. People would come, and then they would start manifesting ecstatic symptoms. And Prabhupada was asked by the first, what should we do? And Prabhupada said, kick him in the head. Kick him in the head and see how he responds. I don't think Prabhupada was seriously suggesting that anybody's rolling on the floor in the temple that we kick him in the head. That's what he said. And he said, let's see how he responds. If he's fully absorbed in Bhava Bhakti, then he won't even notice. And of course, Prabhupada said, you see him rolling on the floor in the temple room, and then he goes outside and he's smoking a bidi. But these are the symptoms of prema bhakti manifest in those who engage in chanting Hare Krishna with a desire to please the spiritual master, to please Krishna, serve, to render service. And this makes the devotees very happy. Very happy. And pleases Krishna. Narayana Parasade na kutascha vipyati svaga bhavaga narakeshva pituryata darshana. Even if he has to go to hell. And realistically speaking, downtown Melbourne is a bit like hell when you think about it, right? Well, it is. We're very fortunate. We live in a very comfortable hell, I suppose. Melbourne is considered the most livable city. That's why you see, people sleeping on the streets, which tends to detract from it being the most livable city. Certainly one of them. But the body is very happy. We're satisfied. This is the other quality that's recommended or encouraged. Santushya, right? By being satisfied. Yena kena va, somehow or another, becoming satisfied. Savendriya prasantya cha, by controlling the senses in devotional service, one becomes peaceful. Gyatva mam santi mrityati, bhakta nam jangita pasam. Sarvaloka maheshwara, this is Prabhupada says the peace formula. Understand that Krishna is the enjoyer of Bhaktaram, Jagya Tapasam, of our Jagya and our Tapa, our sacrifice and austerity. And what's our austerity? You know, the devotees are saying for, what is it? One devotee was making this comment somewhere. WhatsApp probably. In the Purushottam month, Adhika month, we should follow celibacy and sleep on the floor. And sleep on the floor, what? And follow celibacy, how are we supposed to do that anyway? It's like, what? Come on. What's sleeping on the floor got to do with anything? Prabhupada didn't sleep on the floor. Prabhupada did sleep on the floor when he didn't have a bed. But certainly when Prabhupada had a comfortable bed, he could sleep with the bed. So I'm not sure whether sleeping on the floor, guarantees or bestows any particular blessings. Helps fix the sore backs, I don't know. But what's our austerity? Our austerity is to go and chant Hare Krishna, to give people Hare literature that awakens their spiritual understandings. And Prabhupada mentions that here. Those who are actually learned, advanced in spiritual understanding, should preach Krishna consciousness all over the world so that people may take to it and make their lives successful. So this is success. Success for us by understanding that Krishna is Bhaktaram Jagyatapasam, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram, and Suridhava. So we moved down up. This is the best friend of everybody. One becomes peaceful, right? And so it doesn't matter where he is. Even while preaching in hell, a pure devotee remains a pure devotee by his constant association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To attain this state, one has to control his senses, right? And that's in the purport. Savendriyo pasantya cha. Pasantya, upasantya, by controlling. Upasantya. Tushyati asur janarana. Krishna becomes satisfied, and so do we. And how do we do that? By preaching. This is our austerity. This is our jagya, right? Yagyare Sankitan Praya Yajanti Sumeda Saha. Those who are intelligent, Sumeda. And Sumeda means a little bit intelligent. They don't have to be very intelligent. Right? There's a little bit intelligent. To join the Sankitan party and fulfill Srila Prabhupada's desire, the desires of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. When he hears the sound of the mridanga, his heart leaps. Madhava Titi Bhakti Janani. The celebrations of Janmasthami and
Mridanga Bhakti.
What is it?
Mridanga Bhakti Shunita Mana.
Yeah, what's the translation?
That when I hear the mridanga, then I feel very happy and attracted to what Chaitanya is.
Yes, yeah. You want to participate in the Sankirtan? I remember when we went, I told this story before, but the first time I went to India, and, it was the weirdest trip I've ever been on in my life. There was a cheap ticket on Alitalia. So we flew from Melbourne to Sydney, Sydney to Perth, Perth to Singapore, Singapore to Madras, it was Madras in those days, and then Madras to Calcutta. Oh man, that was torture. And, it was the first time I'd ever, not the first time I'd flown in an airplane, I think, but certainly the first time that I'd travelled overseas. And on the flight from Perth to Singapore, we hit this turbulence and the plane just dropped out of the air. I've never experienced it before. I only experienced the first time at an international flight. Oh boy, it was terrifying. Because the plane just suddenly dropped like meters and everything flew to the ceiling. The roads are angry shadows and it's emotions and peace or whatever it was. Some people didn't have their seatbelts on, so they flew up and hit the ceiling. And then in about 10 seconds or so, I did it again. Everybody was chanting Hare Krishna by the time, when everybody was strapping in and chanting Hare Krishna, that accentuated my fear of flying, certainly. We left Melbourne, I guess, around about 10 o'clock in the morning and arrived in Singapore at midnight, and then flew to Madras and went by bus to Mahabalipuram, which is a very beautiful beach. I think it's all polluted now, but in those days, in the 80s, it was beautiful, and the waves coming in off the Indian Ocean. The waves woke up, we were sleeping in these kind of bamboo huts, touristy kind of place. It was so funny, because we had breakfast, and the cook, to show that he was a Brahmana, he had his Brahman food on the outside of the cinder. So he got his Brahman food. And there were these guys that came and entertained us for breakfast. We were all young Hare Krishnas. And and he's swallowing rocks. And then we're regurgitating them. This is our entertainment. And there's other guys who are kind of dressed up with horse. Like a horse around their waist, playing musical instruments and stuff. And just like, what is this? And this is my first time in India. So, experiencing culture shock like anything. Midnight, we're driving through the streets of Madras and there's rows of people lying on the footpath sleeping. And so I was thinking, this is their bedroom. They live on the street. What is this place? This is so uncivilized. In Australia, if you sleep on the street, you're out of it. So it's such a shock. And, the numbers of people, when I came back to Melbourne, when we were driving down, I had a culture shock down in India because of all the people. And I came back to Melbourne, and I was driving down St Kilda Road, And I was looking around, and you know, St. Kilda Road is one of the most busy streets in Melbourne. And where's everybody? What's going on here? It's deserted. So I had a shock going there because of that. I had a shock coming back to Australia because it was like, you know, when you walk down Kerford Road, usually, there's nobody. But if you walk down the same kind of street in India, there's everybody. There's always somebody on the street. It's such a shock. So anyway, Mahabalipuram, that was a little shock. So then, for some reason, I don't know why, we flew to Calcutta in the evening, and we arrived in Calcutta at midnight. Right, so this is a midnight flight, then another midnight flight, and then a bus from the Calcutta airport to Mayapur. And we arrived in Mayapur at about 3 o'clock in the morning. After 2 nights of craziness in airplanes and travel and all of that. With 40 babies or 50 babies, it was not a small group, right? And that's what, you know, we flew from Melbourne, the devotees flew from Melbourne, then we met the devotees in Sydney, gathered more devotees and flew to Perth, gathered some more devotees there, so it was a big, and the devotees from Brisbane had come down. So it was a big, it was a Sankara party. And Korma had arranged samosas for us, and you know, it was fun. But anyway, very tired by the time we got to Mayapur, and we were, you know, you had to sign in, fill out your C form, and do all that stuff. And then by the time we got to our room, it was 4 o'clock. So dived into the shower. Changed, put on fresh clothes, you know, and then went to Mongolati at 4:30. And then I heard the sound of Rinanda. And the Bengalis playing around here, and just naturally started dancing, lifted up by the Rinanda playing, and all of the, you know, anxiety and stress that had come from all of the travel and was just eradicated by the Gita, and especially the Rinanga. The Rinanga just made, when the Rinanga's played properly, then you dance. Huh? Naturally, you dance. Can't stop yourself. Unless you're a little, you know, knucklehead. Blockhead, but hard and made of stone. So, wherever the body goes, where there's kirtan and devotional service, and you know, it is austerity. Chanting Hare Krishna, book distribution, these are our austerities, practically. We don't need to punish ourselves by fasting and sleeping on the floor and all of that kind of stuff. We actually don't need to do that. If we want to make advancement, we preach. This is our austerity. That's the major austerity. Yogyai, the Jagya, Sankirtan. Sankirtan Jagya, this is the Yuga Dharma. And so they're the kind of that activity. Right? And Prabhupada says here, even while preaching in hell, a pure devotee remains a pure devotee by his constant association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To attain this state, one has to control the senses. But then Prabhupada says, somewhat paradoxically, I suppose, the senses are automatically controlled when one's mind is engaged in the service of the Lord. Hrishikesha, Hrishikena. Sevanam bhakti uchate. So, right, this is how we do it. Krishna is the master of the senses, of everybody's senses. Arjuna said to Krishna, you're the master of the senses. You fight. You do it. Let me retire. Of course, he was rebuked, reprimanded for this. And as it turns out, in the 11th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna reveals to Arjuna how actually he's doing everything by showing his universal form. But this is the Rishikesha, the senses are controlled by keeping the mind engaged in service. And our service is preaching. And working together cooperatively. This is the big challenge. And one of the toughest services is to coordinate and arrange the devotees so that everything goes on in a progressive way. Especially we have so many restrictions now, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the other thing. Makes life hard. But this is how we make advancement, this is how we make progress, this is how we further the second time mission by working together. We want to celebrate Janmashtami in as grand a fashion as we can with the limitations that are placed on us by the current circumstances. And, broadcast the celebrations as much as possible so that the devotees at home can get the benefit of the darshan that they're so missing and so much appreciate. Really a bit of it's a sad time in one sense, but actually it's a test. That's all it is. It's not. And a test that we can easily. There's some difficulties, yes, but not that hard to rise above the circumstances and to engage in devotional service and be satisfied even in hell, right? Even while preaching in hell. A pure devotee remains a pure devotee, and that means happy. By his constant association, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam Yajantihi Sume, what would you Jriga Brataha, Yatatam, isn't it? Yatatam?
Yatantascha.
Jriga Brataha, yeah. We have to be determined and always remain in the association of Krishna by chanting Hare Krishna. That is what it is. And engage in service. Then we can be satisfied by controlling the senses in this way, by deepening our Krishna consciousness and dependence on the Lord. The Lord is happy. And we'll get the opportunity. We will get the opportunity to again associate, honor the feast cooked by Jai Sachi and Co. The devotees saying, how come the devotees in the temple get this opportunity? Why not me? What to do? Okay, Radharashina Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Anybody have any comments or questions? Madhu.
I was appreciating the sequence of the in the text in the translation.
Yeah.
Jivadoya, compassion. And then to be satisfied and control of the senses. So my question is any important in the sequence, how important the interdependence of these three factors?
Well, yes, but it's interesting because Prabhupada says if you do the first, then the second will automatically occur. That's really the sequence. Yes, good point. And so, by preaching, we'll automatically control the mind and the senses. Because we'll always be absorbed in to ocean service. Even if it's putting out the rubbish. You know, the people, when they had Jayananda, who was the temple president, who was putting out the rubbish, and they gee, boy, people around here must be pretty amazing. Look how happy the guy is who puts out the rubbish. So, naturally, you know, these qualities of bhakti, you know, what comes from bhakti in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, first canto, knowledge and detachment comes automatically from one who's engaged in devotional service. And, you know, so, you know, we study, we perform our sadhana, we even live quite simply as devotees, but it's all in pursuance of and in support of the sankirtan, the preaching. So what we do is actually not that difficult, realistically, no? It's not. We don't have to learn and recite hundreds of slokas. We have to know the basics, right? We don't have to perform great austerities, sleep on the floor. Celibacy we already do anyway. What is it? Vishaya Vanivaratante, Niraharasya Dehina, Rasavajam, Rasopyasyam, Panandrishva, Nivartate. Right? We get the higher tasks out of our positive engagement in devotional service, which is Dvayaya, Sambhuktenju, and we mostly ourselves do. Preach, and then automatically Savindriya, no, what is it? Santushcha, Jenitenava, one way or another become happy, by what? Savindriya, Pasantcha, Cha, by engaging the senses, controlling the senses and the mind. Santushcha. Santushcha, and that means completely happy. Devotees completely happy. I was thinking the other day, you know, we don't do it now, but we used to sleep outside. Somebody used to sleep outside the deity room every night. I used to do that service. And, completely happy to do it, you know. I sleep on the floor. Didn't have a bed. No beds outside the dining room. And happy to just be Krishna's servant. I don't know how happy I'd be to do it now. Be older than I was 24, 25, 26. 65, it's a different ball game. But Santushta, very happy.
Another point that I was trying to appreciate from this was because of this jiva doya, the compassion to others, first, it's helping to come in out from the self concept. My self-interest, egocentrism, and for doing that, the satisfaction in the heart, and automatically, of course, the Lordship is...
Yeah, yes, when you make others happy, just like, I don't do it now, but I used to, I was the cook, and as if, you know, before the Tindrikan I met the devotees. And but I had the Hare Krishna cookbook. Now the first book that I bought was the Hare Krishna cookbook. Because we were vegetarian. We were already vegetarian. By the time I was 19, I was a vegetarian, but there were no cookbooks. I knew where all the cookbooks were. There was about two of them. Two or three. Three cookbooks. And I found out from my friends that the Hare Krishna had a cookbook, so I went to the temple one day to buy the cookbook. Well, that was scary too, because the temple in Adelaide was in Frome Street, and like the temple here too, because, you know, the devotees were getting attacked. In Adelaide one time what happened was somebody threw a Molotov cocktail into the front window of the temple. The devotees polarized people. You either liked them or you hated them. So whenever you went, if you went to a temple, you had a ring on the door, a buzzer, right? And there's all this promotion around Hare Krishna's are a cult, and they steal the children and all this kind of stuff, right? So I went to the temple, I had a buzz on the door. Okay. And then somebody poked their head out. I can't remember who it was. And they said, "What do you want?" I said, "I want to buy a cookbook." I said, "Okay." Press the door, push the door, right? And I heard the buzzer, right? And I pushed the door, and the door opened. And then you had to walk up the stairs to get to where the temple was. And the door closed behind me, and you walked in to like a fortress. It was like the year two. You had to press on the buzzer, and was the secretary when I became the president. And you know where the printer room is now? That was the receptionist's office. And there was a handset at the front door of Prabhupada House. I think there was one over here too, in that shop. It used to be a shop in there, and then one in that office. That was an office, that was with the receptionist's office. And so somebody, you came to the temple, you pressed on the buzzer, and then somebody said, "What do you want?" Who is it? And then, you know, they'd have a button that they'd press on that thing that would open the lock, and then they could press it and come in. It was like Fort Knox. It was high security. Because the deprogrammers were coming and kidnapping devotees and harassing them. And also, the devotees were out on the street doing book distribution mainly and collections. And they get fines. There's another reason, right? And so, on more than one occasion, the police would raid the temple because the devotees would get the fines, then they wouldn't pay the fines. Right? So the police would raid the temple and take the devotees to jail. There were quite a few devotees, but Chitrika was one of them, couldn't go on Harinam for years because they got fines for doing the collection. And there was this fellow, what the devotees called Square Jaw, who used to round them up. So anyway, I went upstairs and got the book, got the cookbook, and took the cookbook home. You know, took it home. I managed to get out alive. Managed to escape from Hare Krishna's. But reading the cookbook, I discovered, you know, no garlic, onions, no given, and you offer your food in your Hare Krishna. So whenever I would cook, I would chant Hare Krishna. And didn't necessarily offer everything, but I understood, you know, that's why I learned the principles. But I really got a lot of satisfaction out of cooking and feeding my friends. And the satisfaction came from them being happy. Right? The satisfaction came, and I discovered that feeding others was a way to make yourself happy. And of course I saw my grandma doing that, but I guess I saw my mum doing that. So there's a great deal of satisfaction that can be arrived at by making others happy. And a simple way of doing that is feeding them. Right? Bhukte bhava jaya te jaya. And you know, I learned that also from Kurma. Huh? He saw it in action because he engaged us. Well, you know, I'll tell you another funny story. We used to serve the Sunday feast, but we'd been in the kitchen all day and we were hungry by 5 o'clock, right? And ideally you serve the feast and then afterwards you take the supper. You know, we would be so grumpy and nasty to the guests that we were allowed to have the feast before everybody else. So when we served, we were peaceful. But there was always this worry that the guests would eat all of the shop. They would eat all of the Sunday feast. Even there was one day. I won't mention his name, but he used to, on a couple of occasions, he would stand at the front gate and tell people, "It's no Sunday feast today." You go. Very funny. We don't want the Sunday feast guests eating all the Sunday feast. Because in those days it was 150 people, or, you know, it wasn't. So, and we put a lot of effort into the, you know, Kurma issue. And he would pack, you know, with 150 people you can cook special. You know, now we've got 1,000 people coming to a feast, right? You can't, we would do things like stuffed puris. Wow. Huh? Labor intensive. You know, I used to think, you know, Sunday morning when I was not a devotee, he didn't do anything. He just took it easy, slept in, you know, just lazy and did nothing. But then during the Hare Krishna's, Sunday was you worked the hardest you did all week with Kurma in the kitchen. But, you know, we put so much effort into making these preparations. And Kurma taught me, you know, that you're serving Krishna, you focus on the details and make it look good and you know, it's not just, you know, slobbing on the plate, easy to show, but rather, you know, serving people means presentation. Yeah. Right? Presentation is so important. Presentation is a sign of love and affection. Attention to detail is, you know, you sometimes go for the feast, you know, the servant just slots, you know, and plots things on top of each other. And it's not, you know, he's just
switched off.
Never switched on. Remember that switched off? Yeah, probably. You know, he's been served by his mum and the middle class, so they have servants and everything. He didn't even notice any of this stuff. Huh? But attention to detail is very important. And then those who are served nicely are affected. I remember when I first went to the temple and it was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disappearance day. And which really had a profound effect on me because we read about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, you know, his personality. And I'd just been exposed to Brahmacharis on the street, chanting Hare Krishna. And then when I discovered Bhaktivinoda Thakur's, I thought, wow, these guys are not crazy. I discovered they're not crazy. I was introduced to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and I thought, wow, this guy's a magistrate, he's a philosopher, he's a writer, he's a teacher. Really impressed me. There's a culture, there's a tradition here, it's not just some crazy guys. But the thing that really affected me was, well, one of them, that was, you know, so many things, it was, you know, when you come to the Hare Krishna temple, it's such a cultural, central, you know, bombardment, right? But the thing that really affected me was, and I was already a vegetarian, so I thought, okay, this is good. But the devotees sat me down, as I did everybody, sat us down, then brought a plate out, put it out, and then put the prasadam on our plate. And then came back, you want more. Because I was like, whoa, this is great. It was such an incredible experience. But that impacted me. Even here, when I first joined, came to Melbourne, the voters wouldn't let me serve out. They, you know, just be served. And that increased my desire to want to serve. They wouldn't let me serve. No, no, sit down. And I think, well, I'm not qualified. Not qualified, probably. Even in Adelaide, too, because I was just a hippie in off the street, not clean, obviously. And, but you know, major impact when you serve to please others, and what, how we serve naturally is pleasing, has a big impact. Okay, Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.